Snatchers, amigos, and welcome to Record Breakers, a music podcast where a group of friends gather together to share music with each other, an album at a time. It's like a little book club for music. I'm Petey Rave, and I'm a lot of things. I'm more a dude than a chick, but mostly a dude. Here with me is my team, my squad, my crew, my party. We've got David.
Hi, everybody. I'm David, and I will never forgive LMFAO for party rocking. Ever.
We've got Brett.
Yeah, I'm over here, but yes. All I know is that if you're on your wife's boat, maybe don't fuck up or this happens.
Yes. We've got Matt.
I have a pair of DeWalt safety goggles that don't fit over my glasses.
Oh, no. Shame. That's not very safe.
No.
You can be safe from eyeball damage, but you can't see shit.
Yes, but you can't see it coming. And we've got Drew.
I'm really excited to review this artist that came out and got a lot of flack for speaking out against President George W. Bush, Kanye West.
Yes.
Wrong ass.
we're gonna be talking about Kanye West. I be on my bullshit.
I'm so glad this is my last episode.
Dark Twisted Fantasy is still a great record, even though he's nuts.
It is. It's a very good album.
We're here to talk about an album. As we kind of like brought Drew back into the fold, brought him back home. We were sending Matt off. But I decided to keep Matt all around for one episode just because I thought it would be an interesting discussion to talk about an album by an artist that he brought to the fold or back a little bit back in the day. At least a newer form of that artist, just because it was an interesting discussion to talk about where he connected with them at the time and where, you know, he kind of like lost connection with them afterwards. We're going to be talking about The Chicks, now newly rechristened The Chicks, dropping the Dixie off of it.
Dropping the Dixie sounds like Natalie Maine's solo hip-hop album.
Yes. I'm here for it.
Which I would totally bring to this podcast.
I would listen to that.
Yes. I'd be down. All right. You thought that we're, you know, I think she'll have to come up with a whole new a set of diss tracks, but let's talk about these diss tracks because we were talking about the
Ooh,
chicks
boy,
and we were talking about the
diss tracks.
Yes, we were talking about the dicks. We were talking about the chicks.
I got my tea today, Petey. I've got the tea.
Wow, he's going fast.
Speaking of the tea. We're talking about their latest album, the newly released Gaslighter. And it's a fascinating album. I wasn't sure what to expect. I'll even say I wasn't sure what to expect myself. Cause I hadn't listened to it even before I had brought it up on the last episode. And I listened to it for the first time, preparing for this episode. So I wasn't sure exactly. I mean, I wouldn't say I wasn't sure because I, you know, the chicks, you know, whatever their name is, it's still going to be a somewhat of a known commodity in some sense. They're bomb, you know, anthemic, catchy, popish country.
Whoa.
So you kind of get an idea somewhat of what they are, but I've never listened to a Dixie Chicks or Chicks album, so I was looking forward to what to come. But let's talk about expectations from you guys. I'll go with David first. David, what were your expectations coming into this album?
My expectations coming into this album were the idea that this was going to be the first album from this trio in a very long time. And I know generally their brand of music. I would say that I have about as much knowledge on this group as someone who has absolutely zero musical base in country or pop flavored country music. Pretty much zero. Mostly their biggest singles and not much else, and their finger quotes controversy from the early 2000s.
Yeah.
And I generally only kind of have just kind of a base idea of what they're about. And given the album title, Gaslighter, and the backstory of this album, I was expecting some dirty laundry to be aired. And I think that we should probably get to the dry cleaners.
Yes. Possibly some reason for somebody to sue to look at the unreleased music to find out what his was being sung about. Not that he was writing.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
We'll talk about the guy from Prophet in a bit. But
the heroes.
Although at the same time, yes. I can see that.
Joe Prophet.
I don't know if it was an actual lawsuit or if it was just part of ongoing legal discussions.
Yeah, or something like that. But yeah, Brett, what were your expectations coming into this album?
Well, I'm aware of the earlier work of Dixie Chicks, and like even some stuff that does not make radio play regularly. And I wrote some of this down knowing that I'd be asked. So I was like, okay, before I go in, I'm going to write down, what do I think this is going to be? Like, it's probably going to be some dobro and a fiddle. I put that down. There's going to be a ton of harmonies, probably some songs about men. I did not know what location those men reside. Or like generally it's one of those albums, but we'll get into that. But no, I know like I was around for their 2003, 2000, that whole George W. Bush thing. But like the biggest thing that I assumed was that this was going to be a little bit more of, for a lack of better terms, a more mature album, because this is going to be an album by a bunch of women in their mid to late 40s. So you bring a little bit different energy when you are, you know, an established musician than when you're coming up and when you've already made your, like, you know, mix radio money, and those royalty checks are coming in. Like they might do something a little weird, like swear.
Yeah.
The swears.
Oh, like swearing.
Content warning, folks.
Yeah.
There's some cusses.
I saw that. I looked at the track list and I was like, is that an
explicit tags?
Yeah. E-tag? Drew, what were your expectations coming into this album?
Well, I sort of know. The Chicks, as they are known now. My girlfriend also happens to be a fan of, let's say, the late 80s and early to mid 90s country that they have sometimes dabbled in. So I know a lot about Earl.
And the Black Eyed Peas.
The E-40? Yeah, I like Earl too.
E-40's still alive. The other Earl died. But it's something where I knew that going in. But I was excited to sort of hear the other side of it. There's a kind of move right now for, let's say, to move country music away from maybe a political group that it is currently comfortably sitting in and move it back into a political group that it maybe has an origination in. And sort of doesn't have it as much anymore. And I was excited to hear that. Also, knowing what one of the chicks went through, and the title of the record was kind of like, oh, there's gonna be a lot of that female empowerment on this record, yeah. I'm guessing. Along with maybe some sadness, but also lots of anger.
Wait, you're telling me there's a country music album featuring women with songs about men and it being sad? It's like the blues having people being sad about shit.
I don't think this was so much sad as it was mad. Like,
this was mad.
Yes. As they say, she mad.
Yeah,
I mean, there the are kids would say big mad. They are getting aired.
Yes, the airing of grievances. Festivus, we're getting it early.
The dirty laundry, the tea.
Yes, spilling the tea. As
leggings found places.
Yeah. Matt.
Document being signed.
Matt, I know you haven't misplaced your leggings. Matt, what were your expectations coming into this album?
Boy, you got that right. I sure haven't. So I'm familiar with a band that I know as Dixie Chicks, who released released two albums with one particular lineup that I am a big fan of. It was a lot more bluegrass. It was kind of, the first album was very bluegrass. The second album, which we have covered on this podcast, is kind of bluegrass country mix, and they kind of evolved from there into country, and I never bothered listening to it. And it's not that I'm bitter about what they turned into. I just would have really liked to have had more of those bluegrass country albums with that lineup, because I really like it. So for this album, I was expecting straight up country, basically with tight female harmonies. I've heard their Earl song like once, and I was like, oh, what's this about? Okay, that's interesting. Well, I don't really care for Scruggs, this.
So
yeah. Goodbye, Earl. Yeah.
It's about karaoke, is what it's about.
Yeah.
Is that their sellout song?
I
don't know.
It was probably their first like giant crossover, I feel like, was Earl Has to Die.
I'll tell you one thing I didn't expect was to see an explicit tag on this album.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Like, is that allowed in country?
I don't know. In country?
I mean, we got to get to that kind of country, but
not the kind of country that...
I would say S words and F words, probably not as prominent in country. Other letter words, maybe a little bit more. But
well,
I mean, Conway Twitty talking about how tight his jeans are.
Okay.
We're on Twitch.
That's explicit in eight different ways.
I'm still here.
I'm just saying. I'm looking at you, David Allen Coe.
I'm still here, guys.
Exactly. We're just saying.
I mean, I still don't know what the word Chattahoochee means, so...
Yeah.
Hey, I've walked the Chattahoochee, and they called it the Hooch, and I was like, oh my god, I'm in Georgia.
Yeah. The Chicks, Gaslighter. This album musically, we're talking about this album musically. This album musically is very definitely anthemic. It's very in the style of like anthemic country music. It's got hooks, it's got harmonies, it's got adultery, it's got getting drunk, boats mama. Rather than trains. There's mamas. Wow. I mean, they're all mamas.
My dog,
you telling me it's a country record?
Yes. Yeah, and it's basically, I would say the musically it is the same elements of musically, it's bombastic anthemic country music with some like other modern influences, but maybe definitely that. The other theme of this song of this album is, man, fuck Adrian Pazdar. That's the theme of this album. Well, somebody fucked Adrian Pazdar, and it wasn't Natalie Maines. It wasn't just Natalie Maines.
I mean, all I know is that her husband's girlfriend's husband, was calling her, and shit went down at the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is. That's the other. And there is a little bit of of other themes and elements, and we'll get to it in the tracks. There's a little bit more of singing songs, naming their daughters, but mostly singing song for girls out there. There's other themes. There's they have a protest song. They have these kinds of these other themes, but the through line, the concept of this album is that the dude from Prophet fucked up. David, how would you describe this album musically?
Wait, Adrian Pazdar, you fucked up. In the words of the great Rev X of the Spirit of Truth, motherfucker, you fucked up then, didn't you?
Enjoy your Carlito's Way money.
This was an incredibly straightforward album. It's everything just all out there, wide out in the open, and there is something to be said about lack of subtlety and being as straightforward as possible with your album concept. There's something to commend the Chicks on for that. And wow, they really, really bring the point home that this dude was a real piece of garbage. And I kind of felt like it almost got a little bit uncomfortable after about track 7. That, yeah, this was a lot. A lot of airing of grievances. And under the guise of some really well-played country-flavored music.
Mm-hmm. Brett, how would you describe the sound musically?
Well, I'll add to your pile of the themes of this, PD. There's also the, I may be a woman of a certain age, but I'm still DTF. there's that. It's getting
the Breakfast Podcast is a target demo for this album.
Look, if she is, if I was single, I'm super down.
aside from the content of this being very on brand for country music, as I think broadly country music, kind of like I think of the blues as more of a feeling than a sound. This is country ass music. In a way, I haven't listened to a lot of modern country music where it's been sort of popified. And when I came into this, I was like, okay, well, what could I be walking into? This is a highly produced album. It's mixed like a pop album with those wall of sound dynamics for a band with, essentially it's three women who are also playing instruments that hang out higher than low, I guess, because generally you're not going to be playing the bass on the fiddle like that, not that kind of fiddle. They don't do that anymore in the Chicks, but the thickness is added. So you got your strings, you got the steel guitar or the dobro, you get a piano sometimes, you got digital bells and chimes.
Brett, is this piano or piano?
There's not one out of tune parlor piano even for a little bit. But there is electric piano that sounds like something you would see on Sesame Street in the 70s or the intro to Taxi. There's a synth pad Like, there are things that, along with the vocal harmony. So there's a lot of things going on for another a band of three people.
Is that allowed in country? Synth pads? Is that allowed?
There is a long history of drums that have delay on them in country music. Digital drums exist in country. I know that from riding on a school bus in the 90s in rural north central Indiana.
I'm learning a lot.
The meat and potatoes of this, and I think of probably the place that I focused in on, is there are some boat-based transgressions that show up in more than one song. That
spoilers for Tenet, everybody. Spoilers for Tenet.
Yeah,
like more. There's more than one song that talks about her damn boat. And you know what? When you're on someone else's boat, there are just some things you don't want to do. And it's not leaving the yeah.
Don't leave. Keep track of all your possessions.
Well, I mean, the possessions not being kept track of was not the true problem going on.
Sure.
But yes, that is a complication as well.
Yeah.
Because you're dumb. But yeah, like, man, how mad do you have to be to release an album? Like, there are a lot of people who have had bad shit done to them, but did not have a record label that was like, yeah, let's package this up and put it out on Spotify.
And the whole band just
laughing in the wind.
The whole band just all in, two thumbs up with it.
Yeah, let me write this awesome fiddle solo for this. You know, let me, you know, like, yes. Let's put a stamp on that. Like, we have not had an album that does this on Record Breakers yet. And that's exciting.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Drew, how would you describe this album musically?
Well, what can I say that already hasn't been said? Yes, 95% of this record's themes and elements lyrically can be summed up, as P so eloquently put it, as fuck Adrian Pazdar. That is a thing that is pervasive through, I believe, all but like one track. There's like one track that's like maybe a little bit more political than pushing that button again, and then the rest of them are just like, nah, this dude was an asshole. Like,
he tried to raise my boys to be men in this asshats.
Like, it's a bad look for the kids we're trying to raise. He's trying to take all my money, even though we agreed to not take each other's money when we started this. Like, he's doing this. He's also banging a girl on my boat. This is my boat.
And I made this money.
Like, what are you doing? Like, I'm bigger than you. Like, it's just a giant middle finger. It's great. From a lyrical content perspective, perfect. Exactly where you want it from the chicks. Like, exactly where you want it, right? The music itself, I feel fades a little bit into the background, because it's the chicks. You want to focus on the harmonies, right? You want to focus on the three of them and the way they layer. And in that, perfect, right? That's absolutely perfect. But because of that, I feel like the music is an afterthought. It's a bit boring at times, from a pure instrumentation perspective. That said, it sort of stays in that like late 80s, early 90s, like compositional feel to it, while still being something that takes some modern sensibilities from modern Nashville. Take or leave what you like from that statement. But sort of where it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Matt, how would you describe this album musically?
I would not call this country pop. I think country influenced pop might even be a little generous. It's kind of pop with appearances of country instruments, which is not necessarily a bad thing per se. It's all about management of expectations, and so it's a good pop record, and boy, howdy, does that pedal steel show up on some tracks. Regardless, though, there's some really, really well-executed harmonies. If there's, you know, nothing else one could take away from this album, it's, boy, these chicks can sing. They can sing tight. And I would say, I was going to say what happened on that boat, but I think we all pretty much know, given all the tracks.
Time out fishing.
Yeah. And
there was
folks,
things
that we have Mellotron.
There were cheeks being clapped.
What I was curious about that.
Sexual
so it wasn't
intercourse,
Mellotron?
People. Sexual intercourse.
So that I did not know if that was like if that was the Mellotron being actually done because I felt like yeah. Okay. So I couldn't find that information
I'll
out.
Put yeah. it this way on the Wikipedia page for it, Jack Antonoff is credited with Mellotron on all except three or four tracks.
Yeah.
So was it so for her like that? That was where I specifically three. Heard it. So yeah.
Yeah. Three.
But yeah, like because
three.
No, that
five,
one actually doesn't
eight.
Have Mellotron.
Yeah. So that was actually strings that they did that because I. That's so odd. The one song that does not have Mellotron that I was like, that kind of sounds like the Beatles were doing something. But yeah.
Yeah.
Mellotron. I did not expect that there would be a Mellotron floating around in here.
Yeah.
Is Mellotron allowed in country music? Is that allowed?
Doesn't matter because this isn't country music. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
But still, is it allowed?
You know, I have no idea. I think it's fine. Also,
I mean, Panama
you know,
Red.
That's true.
Huh? All right.
Taylor Swift may have a lot of ex-boyfriend songs, but I'm happy for her that she manages to get out of those relationships before she has to write divorce songs about them. So, yeah. Good on you, Taylor.
Good on you, Tay-Tay. let's talk about some of the tracks. Let's talk about the songs. Get in there. It opens with Gaslighter, the title track, and it is kind of like a thesis statement for the album. It's a very good opener. It's got the harmonies. It's got the hook.
It's not subtle.
No, it's not subtle at all. And it lays the groundwork for what you're gonna expect throughout the album. And it's one of the two songs that mentioned what happened on that damn boat, which paired with tights on my boat, like these hoes on my boat, these tights on my, like yeah, yep. It's pretty fantastic. It's just like there's two songs about what the fuck were you doing with that bitch on my boat, But yeah, the Gaslighter does a really great job, and I think musically it's pretty engaging. It does a great thesis statement for what you're expecting in the album. Everybody Loves You kind of has a nice like change of pace. It has like a more mellower feel, a little bit less angry, and a little bit more thoughtful. March, that was a pretty dope like percussive track. It does a good job of being like their like protest song, and I think it works well. It has the fun clap solo or clap like
hey.
Bridge, the clap bridge. I guess it wouldn't be a solo because I imagine there were multiple people clapping or it was overdubbed or something. Unless somebody was really clapping that
a
fast
clap
and over clapping, a clap. Clapstra. But yeah, a lot of people got the clap there. And it worked well. I think it's engaging and has a different energy. It's still with the anger, but it's nice. And then I think it Set Me Free, kind of like for like all the we're talking about the all the anger and the vitriol of the song of the album. Set Me Free kind of has that nice rejoinder at the end where it's like basically like, you know what, just let me go, just let me be free, because like it's like the airing of grievances, and then at the end, just, you know what, like at the end of the day, I just want my freedom. Like, I just want to be able to like move on, raise my kids, and be free of this relationship. I don't, you know, like, I know there's, like, I know there's good in you. Let that part, good part of you, like, let me have this freedom. And I think that works. And it's, and you can feel it musically on how it contrasts with the other parts of the songs about that relationship. And I think it works well. David, what would be some of the key tracks for you?
March. It was the one song that was not overtly about the divorce on this album. I guess you could also say Juliana Calm Down to a certain degree. I would say all of the songs are pretty well written and well performed, and the harmonies have all been said at length. But if you're looking for something that's a little bit of a breath of fresh air from the rest of the album, March would be the one.
Brett, what would be some of the key tracks for you?
So the things that sort of stuck out to me were mostly musical and mostly very subtle. Like on Texas Man, I'm pretty sure that there was some efficient use of plucked violin string, which was played along with guitar, but in a way that it didn't sound, it sounded in a way that was better than what normally it sounds like. It was very subtle. And also there was like a muted piano, like with like the middle pedal down and with the little, where it's like makes it all nasally, but also in volume, it was low. And there was like this subdued, like blown speaker, like it was very muffled guitar that was like just sitting down underneath a very, very loud beat. Like the drums were very loud, like a pop album. The beat is as loud as the vocals. For her, we get some electric piano. It's not quite like, you know, it's not the Superstition clavitar, but like it is an electric piano. Like it sounds like brown corduroy.
This is electric piano one on all your MIDI keyboards.
Yes, it's yes. It is the Taxi theme song, and you know, I really dig it, and it works really well with swelling strings, which digital strings, they did a really good job of it. Like, there was a lot of digital effects on this album, but for there being the most analog of instruments, which are the dobro and the fiddle, it didn't contrast too hard. March, you know, what the hell happened in Helsinki? Like, it was not boat based grievances being aired. But
watch Mr. Robot, everybody.
There's what I think sounded like a bow being drawn across a saw. The noise, there was like this. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard somebody play a saw solo, but there was but it was on a loop. It would hit like regularly. And like there was also effective, it was just the way they fattened it up. It worked well with like the plunky tones of the instrumentation. I am not here to know how to actually review an album that came from people who once did bluegrass, then kind of did country, and now do whatever this is, because I don't know this enough. But like they did some things with some stuff that I didn't expect them to do. And now that I learned that there was Mellotron, like they really fattened the spectrum of sound in this album. Yeah. And those were the things that really stood out to me.
Mm-hmm. True. what would be some of the key tracks for you?
Well, I always say a couple of things, or I feel like I've always said a couple of things, which is
last
one, if you're
song
gonna,
of the album. Yeah, that's you. Yeah.
I'm a big closer guy.
second track, the second track.
Yeah.
Yes. No, title track has to be able to really go. Because if you're going to name an entire album after one song, that song better be great. And an opener should be one of the best and give you like a vertical slice of what you're going to get. Gaslighter opens this, being a title track. I believe the kids use the term slaps of these days. It's a great opening track for both of those reasons. It's an album with a sharp tongue to the tale that's being told. It's a divorce story, which I feel like is about as old as country music in general, is cheating and anger and ways to get that sort of anger and sadness out. So it makes sense for an entire album to be about that. But it's also like a weirdly fun track, like musically speaking, even though it's, again, biting, which I feel like they're sort of known for that in a way. Get to a different type of track, March March. Like I said at the beginning, there's a whole movement of like, well, what about the people that used to have country? They were very salt of the earth, like normal type of people, right? It's there's the ideas of country, right? And having something like March March makes sense. It's something that can be anthemic for those folks from that political standpoint, which I think is cool. And something that with your band name being sort of synonymous now with that moment in time and sort of that quote unquote controversy. Again, I don't think it was a controversy. I don't think it was bad that they did that. But you have to
Toby
almost
Keith
put something.
Was involved.
Yeah. Let me tell you which... What
Fear
artist I would rather
horses.
Listen. Let me tell you which artist I would rather listen to between Toby Keith and the Chicks. Let's just go over them.
Toby Keith ruined my Air Force basic training. Nope, I'm all right.
He should have. He really should have been a cowboy.
All right, guys.
Toby Keith was the worst. I hate Toby ruined Keith karaoke. So much.
I'm okay.
Sorry. I'm sorry for asses and boots, Steve. Oh, I'm really God. Sorry.
Ruined I'm karaoke okay. everywhere.
Okay. I'm okay. I'm all right.
I can't fault the man for making money in a very easy way. There's a lot of it that felt disingenuous to me, whereas the Chicks seem to be coming by it honestly.
Really joking fucking seriously. I'm okay. I'm okay. Yeah.
I'm okay. But moving on, a song that I think is kind of poignant also is Juliana Calm Down. Again, the two tracks that maybe aren't as PD put it, a fuck Adrian Pasdor theme, I wanted to kind of highlight here. This is an anthem to... girls, young and old. It's saying something that I think because of the circumstances, right, they have a platform to talk to a wide variety of people. And I think that giving a voice to people you feel you need to give a voice to when you've gotten that power, I think is something that they felt important. We did Run the Jewels. Rap and punk rock, I feel, is a lot of giving voice to people that don't have it a lot of times. And being that, I think Juliana Calm Down is going to be that for a lot of women and young girls. And I think that's important to have. Also, I feel that this is the one track on the album where the music did cool stuff that actually like made me take notice, which, again... It's a trope, but it's a trope for a reason. Starting minor key and slow and then moving up into like a very lighter tone and swelling and being joyous by the end of it and pushing sadness away and being empowering. They did it a lot in a lot of music I like, and it did it here with country music, and it's a good thing to do, and it works very well for the lyrics and what they're trying to say in the music, which is, I think, one of the times on this album where the music and the lyrics were conjoined in creating a feeling, which I think I always want to highlight that sort of thing because I think it's always neat when it happens well.
Mm-hmm. Matt, what would be some of the key tracks for you?
Gaslighter, track one. This was kind of interesting on the first listen because it was a lot more pop than I expected. But we had previously done, oh gosh, now I'm forgetting the name. The blues guy. The first
blues man.
Yeah, the actual
Gary Clark Jr.
Yes, yeah. The first track on his album was a lot more kind of hip hop and that kind of genre. And so I thought, well, maybe this is also and also with our favorite abuela.
Celia Cruz?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know why I can't think of any names. I'm terrible with names. Both of those, they had like these much more mainstream tracks as the opening track. So I thought, well, maybe this will be kind of like that. No, it was not. But there was foreshadowing of the boat incident.
Yeah.
Sleep at night. Yeah. This is the one that, kind of, for one thing, made me realize, okay, no, this is all going to be pop. But this is the one that I noticed the Mellotron on because it had these string section punches that at first I thought maybe they hired someone, just hired a string section. Then I thought, well, no, maybe it was one of the chicks themselves doing overdubs. And then I look and I see there's Mellotron. And I think what they did is they hit a key and then turned the speed knob to make it modulate up. And for whatever reason, it reminded me of Ode to Billy Joe, the kind of string fills. Texas Man. This was a good...
As a Texas man.
This was a really good pop song. And I mean that genuinely. Like, if this had been introduced to me as like, hey, listen to this pop song, I think you might like it, I'd be like, man, that's cool. They're introducing these little elements from country. And so it has that kind of connective tissue approachability. And so that was nice. Also, I'm pretty sure that close personal friend and Fortnite streamer Abby Russell St. Vincent plays guitar on this, according to Wikipedia. So that's
like that St. Vincent, like the musician St. Vincent.
Yeah, it says Annie Clark, electric guitar track.
I thought you said.
It doesn't
Abby
have the link
Clark,
to St. Vincent, but yeah.
But it is, but yeah, Annie Clark. It could be her. Vincent.
Yeah,
it's her. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Close personal friend of Abby Russell.
That's right.
YouTube personality.
Gamer. YouTube
streamer St. Vincent.
YouTube's giant bomb channel.
Yes. Yes. Tights on my boat. There's really not much left to the imagination on this one. Like I said earlier, my inclination is to say like, oh my god, what the hell happened on that boat? But I think we all know pretty much exactly what happened on that boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And lastly, Set Me Free, the closing track. It was a nice song. It certainly feels heartfelt. The thing that kind of kept pulling me out of it were two things. Mostly that there is a country song called Release Me that I've heard too many times. And so I hear this set me free, and they keep using the words release me, and so I keep thinking about that other one. And also the opening lines of you keep me hanging on has also set me free.
Engelbert Humperdinck comes to haunt us all.
All right, let's talk about conclusive thoughts. Let's bring it back around the horn. David, what would be your conclusion on this album as a whole?
All right, fellas. We're going to do a little theater of the mind. All right. So you're in a restaurant. Example, you're remember when we used to go to restaurants? You're the waiter. You're the waiter. Theater of the mind. I don't know. I've never done much customer service, retail, all of those things. And you're bringing the dinner out to a married couple. And when you're bringing the dinner out, you walk over and you say, "Hey, guys, is everything okay?" And you see that the two of them are in a massive fight. And you just walk up with the food. And the two of them are like heated arguing, and the kids are there, and the rest of the restaurant's kind of looking at them, and things are getting a little quiet, and then suddenly they notice it, and then they just kind of stop, and you walk up with the food, and it's super awkward and uncomfortable. And all you can say is, did you want any dressing with your salad? That's how this album felt for me. It was mega uncomfortable. Not in the Stephen A. Smith uncomfortable way, as I've said on this podcast and previous episodes, but in the I feel bad for the kids uncomfortable kind of way. I would not say anything for artistic expression, and Natalie Maines is well within her rights to express herself however she sees fit. But whoo boy, this entire album was extremely uncomfortable. It was a lot of really good vocal harmonies, some decent pop music with a little flashes of instruments you're not used to hearing in pop music, and just kind of solid for all of the awkwardness and uncomfortableness.
Mm-hmm. Brett, how would you conclude on this album as a whole?
I mean, this is certainly a well-made album, and it has really well-written songs. There are some really good hooks. There's some good turn of phrase. There's some real good song craft that going on here. There's great production. I couldn't have done any of this. But is it something I'm going to throw on like when I'm cruising down the street and be like, yeah, I need to feel bad about someone? Because that's kind of how it felt. I was like, man, like, I know some people go to music because they're feeling down and they want to have some musical solidarity and like some emotional release through music. And I am not the target audience for this kind of, because all I'm like, I'm sitting here being like, man, this is either a really, really dumb guy or a really, really dumb guy for like making someone so angry that they make millions of dollars it's as an exercise in, oh, what is the state of this kind of music in 2020? That's also like that is noteworthy as well. Like I'm not listening to anything close to this in modern times. So that was also fun. So I had an okay time. Probably not going to put this on, you know, when I'm party rocking in this house of two. Daisy's going to be, what are you listening to? Like, what about a boat? Like, Daisy did not listen along with me because it was not the kind of thing I was putting on when I was chopping onions or something. So, yeah. It's like,
Drew, what would be your conclusion on this album as a whole?
Uncomfortable is a good way to put it, but I'm one of those weirdos that I kind of like sitting and hearing the uncomfortable story sometimes. Not that I've felt what it's like to have my partner cheat on me on my own boat.
and be bad at it.
Yeah. Don't have a boat, so that's never going to be a problem.
Spoilers for Tenet.
But it's something that I think that music does really well. Again, it's the stories. It's the last two albums we've done have been in genres that are very good at telling stories from unique perspectives, I think. And this is more on the pop side than it is the countryside. We're not going to make any bones about that. But it's something that I think is interesting, especially as like a slice of time. I'm probably not going to go back because musically there's not much to go back to. And I sort of know where this is at from a lyrical standpoint. And there's nothing that like inspires me to like sing along in my car or like have a good time to it. So it's one of those albums.
I would want to watch that. That is...
What's me?
I'd subscribe to that TikTok.
Yes.
What, white dude singing in car to the chicks?
No, yeah. Not just white dude. You.
Yes. Specifically me.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, I wouldn't if do somebody that, wants, if I do it and Natalie Maines buys me a truck, like I'm,
yeah,
doing it tomorrow.
Get some Welch's grape juice because, you know, you gotta broaden your horizons.
Yeah.
Juicy juice it.
Super down for that. Like I won't.
Is that what the kids are calling it nowadays? Juicy juice?
Yeah,
get a regrettable tattoo. And
well, everybody knows what lean is now, David.
Yeah.
Like we have to name lean something else. Did I blow up anybody's spot? But yeah, I think it's I'm glad I listened to it. I'm glad that it's out there. And I always like somebody getting their comeuppance in a public way. But at the same time, like David said, what about them kids, though?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, somebody think of the children.
This is usually I'm not for that line of thinking. But in this respect, is somebody going to think of the kids?
Yeah, I'll be Maud Flanders about this as well.
Yes,
but this does not look like a healthy place to try and raise young boys.
Matt, what would be your conclusion on this album as a whole?
So I generally don't consider myself to be a country music purist. Maybe I actually am and I don't realize it. This album is fine. I think it's a good pop album, and I don't mean to be throwing shade when I say it's pop. I just genuinely think that that's the best filter to view this album, listen to this album through. Because if I didn't have the previous knowledge of who this band used to be, I think I would have more been able to enjoy it on its own terms a little more. Of like, hey, listen to this pop album and they throw some country instruments in from time to time and be like, that's cool. I'll give it a listen. I could have enjoyed it more, probably not enough just for my overall feeling on it to change. Next time I'm at Half Price and I see this CD in the $2 section, I will likely not buy it.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You'll buy Meatloaf's "Bat Out of Hell" 2, and I'm trying to think of what other things you've said. I don't know that you actually said Meatloaf, but something that we've covered. Meatloaf. You're like, this was in my sleeve.
This is Boston.
Collection. Yes, yes, Boston. You would pay for Seal. Boston, but not this. And Seal. Yeah, that was the one. That was you. There is no truer, like, how much is this valued? Yes. Less than Seal.
Yes.
Less than Seal.
It's Seal and the alligator facing Seal and then this album.
I need to go through all my CDs and find the ones that I've bought for like $1 and $2 and just compile a list.
Yeah,
and we will. It's like ranking of fighters. You got to go to the list. If you're going to say I would not pick this album, you got to say, is this album better than, worse than? And yes. Let's hit the list.
The list. Very
Control F.
I would rather listen to Seal than this album.
Yeah. Oh wow.
Yes. So this album was an interesting experience. Coming fresh off of it, fresh into it, I will say, yeah, I more or less echo you the sentiments you guys talk about, where like there was a lot to enjoy, there's a lot to like about this album, there's a lot that's really well done and well made. It's not something that I'm going to jam to on my Spotify on the regular basis. Other than maybe like if it pops up in a daily mix, maybe I won't skip it or like make, but mainly like if March ended up there.
I listened to this in a private session and I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
go sit in your room.
To sign in though?
Well, I have an account. So.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it there's a lot that works, and I think it's cool to like, experience it. It's cool to like check it out. I will give a shout out to Cenk Antonoff's work. He did a lot of cool stuff on this. Just like being the guy that was like the, all right, I'm gonna play this, that, and the other thing. Like, he had a lot of contribution to this album, and I think it being the head producer, he did a great work there. So I think he deserves a shout out. But yeah, I think that overall this is a good record. I probably won't be visiting, but I think it's a record that I think is people should check out. And it's a good like return, you know, the good showcase for where the Chicks are out now. Like a good like debut, as it were, a re-debut for a new identity, or well, like a new naming of their identity. And I think overall it's pretty solid. But yeah, now we get to the main event of the evening. We get to the moment we've all been waiting for. We get to the haiku reviews, where we sum it all up in the 575 form. Let's get down to the nitty gritty.
Down to the nitty gritty.
Haiku numero, numero uno. David, what is your haiku?
Musically solid, but yeesh, he really fucked up. This is real awkward.
Brett, what is your haiku?
Modern production, fiery current pop country, established talent.
Drew, what is your haiku?
Album you expect from a recently changed name. It says what it needs.
Matt, what is your haiku?
Good if approached as pop with a waft of country. Don't think I'll return.
Finally, my haiku. New name, same energy. Chicks have lots to say about Nathan Petrelli. Those are our thoughts on the Chicks' Gaslighter. Good luck to Adrian Pazdar. I hope that Chasing Amy money is working out. Or Judging Amy. Not Chasing Amy. Judging Amy.
that's a completely different thing right there.
Good luck to everyone involved. Good luck to the kids, really. I'm just hoping for, well, I'm pretty sure they're a little older than kids, but good luck to everyone
involved. Like I said, mature. This is a mature album.
Yes, mature album. So approach it accordingly. Those are our thoughts on the Chicks' Gaslighter. You can find it on our Spotify playlist. Play Record Breakers, the home game. Do your due diligence and your due diligence. Follow along at home. On that Spotify playlist will be next week's album. And that'll be by David. David, what have you got for us next week?
I have an album which appears to be the final album from vaporwave artist Tupperwave. Just came out, entitled Marina 2.
Mm-hmm. So looking forward to that. But that'll be next week, and this is this week.
And this is this week.
Yes. But we finally have to actually send off Matt. Matt, thank you for hanging out with us this whole time.
Thank you.
I mean, sending him off, he's still literally going to be around us all the time.
Yeah, he's going to be Luscious Matt, Lucius.
We'll probably never speak to each other again, Matt, with how things are. So it's been a pleasure. It's been an honor. Matt, you're awesome. My. Just, you know, within the podcast kayfabe. Within Rebelli kayfabe. We're in two different sides of the universe now. So
keep it kayfabe, brother.
Yes.
To you, Matt. I raise my soft mug to you, Squiggles. To you.
I feel bad.
I raise my Ace Restaurant Supply tumbler.
Yes. But thank you, Matt, for hanging out with us. And you can, of course, see Matt on Through the Tomes every Tuesday, which is the
big reason why. He's got a dress with pockets.
Yes.
I do have a dress of many pockets.
Yes. So, That's great. Big reason why it spurred me to do D&D was that I wanted to at least have a project with both of these guys.
One dress with pockets. That's what PD's goal was.
I mean, it's a lot of effort, and boy, it's a big memory suck on the computer. But that dress,
yes,
it makes it all worth it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course, you can find us all over the internet. David is at Call Me DJM. Brett is at HIBDBRITYBBITYBBRD. Drew is at Extras for X. Matt is at MRedicW. I'm at PD Rave. The show is at 4 Record Breakers. That's the number 4 Record Breakers. RecordBreakersPodcast.com, RecordBreakersPodcast@gmail.com, Rebelli.net for this and other shows, Rebelli TV on YouTube and on Twitch. We stream Record Breakers on Wednesdays. We do D&D. We through the tomes.
Yeah, that's right. Through the tome.
Through the thumbs. Through the tomes on Tuesdays. We do Space Trucking on Thursdays. I might pop in there and do a random like stream some other day. Maybe do some Hades. Maybe do some retro gaming. I might be doing some Legend of Dracoon soon, or maybe in the
Wise from Milk Wave.
Yes. So look out for that. Got the retro pie going. So look out for that. But yeah, like, share, subscribe, do all the things, hit the bell, slap the walrus, spank the monkey,
pluck the platypus.
Until next time,
assault John Lennon.
Hasta the hedgehog.
Hashtag find Luke.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.